Welcome to That Anxiety Guy, Episode 7, Let's Make a Plan. Hey everybody, Drew here. As always, thanks for stopping by to listen. Now today, let's build on what we've learned in some of the last podcast episodes to create a general plan for dealing with our anxiety issues. Since we know that anxiety disorders, and that includes agoraphobia, are cognitive in nature, we're going to generally ignore the physical symptoms. We're not really going to talk about much of that today. Instead, we're going to address behavioral and cognitive issues, because really that's what makes the lasting difference. Right, focusing just on your physical symptoms, as I mentioned in the last episode, is kind of a dead end. So let's ignore that today. Stick with me on that. Now, in future episodes, we are going to take detailed looks at actual tasks and exercises, really the mechanics of exposure therapy. But for now, let's take a look at an overall plan and the basic concepts that we're going to have to follow to get things done. We're going to lay out 5 general strategy points, and then we're going to put an action plan in place. So let's get started. Let's talk about strategy point number 1. It's all about goals and expectations. It is all about that. You have to have the right goals in mind before you get started. Now, the single biggest misconception, and in our case this is so important, is that making your anxiety and panic stop or go away is actually not your goal. The goal here is to learn through actual real life experience that anxiety and panic are not actually dangerous and therefore are not to be feared or avoided. The end game here is to simply not care if you're having a panic attack, no matter where you are or what you're doing. Let me repeat that. Your goal is to just not care if you're anxious or having a panic attack, no matter where you are or what you're doing. Now, for many, many people, that seems confusing. But there's a huge difference, okay? Do not go into this expecting to make your anxiety and panic symptoms disappear. That is not the goal. The goal is to be anxious or to panic and just to not care because you're no longer afraid. Okay, very important. Now, point number 2, and this is probably the sticking point where most people never actually get started. Be resigned to the fact that you're going to have to be afraid and uncomfortable, especially in the beginning, to get things moving forward. I am sorry, but that's just the way it is. And one thing that bothers me almost more than anything else in dealing with these issues is just the sheer number of people that I see that remain stuck and unhappy and trapped because they're just bouncing from one idea to the next, one program to the next, one herbal remedy to the next, one medication to the next, because they do want to get better. And I think in many cases, people understand that they can get better and that it's not that big a mystery, but they're just desperate to do it without ever being uncomfortable or afraid. And since anxiety disorders are cognitive and behavioral in nature, the only way to get past them is through experiential learning. And that means you have to be afraid. You're going to have to trust that you're really in no danger, and you're going to have to experience that fear directly. So that means you're just going to have to be afraid and uncomfortable as part of this process. Now, I don't mean you're going to have to be afraid and uncomfortable for the rest of your life to be normal. It just means to, especially to get the ball rolling, you're going to have to conjure up some kind of superhero level courage. I call it superhero brave, but only in the very beginning. Right? The need for courage does begin to decrease over time, and your level of fear and uncomfortableness will begin to decrease over time as well. But just, you're going to have to buy into that. I'm sorry, there's really no way around it. So let's look at number 3. Stop thinking about your physical anxiety and panic symptoms. Just stop. Stop thinking about what you're going to swallow, natural or otherwise. This is not a comment on medication. I don't care if it's an herb or a pill. Stop thinking about what you're going to swallow to make your symptoms go away. All right, the best analogy I can make here is that if your car is making a funny noise under the hood while you're driving down the highway, you know something is wrong, you could turn up the radio to its loudest possible level and you won't hear the noise anymore. But did that actually fix your car? No, of course it didn't. So just concentrating on making your anxiety symptoms go away is pretty much the same as turning up the radio when your car is making a funny noise. You know, in the end, you're going to have to deal with the engine of the car. And in the end, you're actually going to have to deal with the disorder itself as opposed to just trying to beat the symptoms away. So number four, point number four here is to think small. And by think small, I mean this. If you haven't left your house in 3 weeks or you haven't gone shopping by yourself in 2 years, then don't start by planning a three-week trip to Paris, right? That's probably a really big chunk to bite off, and you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. So don't worry about how impossible it might seem to being normal, right? So don't go from where you are now to trying to immediately get back to that so-called normal life. As of right this minute, you are in the business of unlearning negative behaviors and in relearning old skills that you've kind of gotten rusty at, right? Now, this is done just the same way as we learn to play a musical instrument or speak a foreign language. This is done in small steps and tiny building blocks, right? Every small step matters, and each small step is a building block for the next step after that. So think small. If you can't leave the house, don't worry about trying to get, you know, on a 3-hour shopping excursion on your own in the next town. If you can't leave your house, think about just standing by your front door and looking out for a little while. All right, we're going to think small and we're going to start small. That's point number four. Point number five, I think this is the thing that probably leads to the most lasting effect, right? This is the thing that really leads to long-lasting recovery, but most people forget this. Be consistent, be persistent, and be tenacious. You know, in my opinion, this is really what matters most. So here's the best way for me to think about that. A panic-fueled white-knuckle run through the shopping mall that you've been avoiding for a year, followed by 4 days of not leaving the house, is completely pointless. You would be way better off taking a tiny step persistently. So in other words, instead of making that run to the shopping mall and running through the mall and being panicked all the time and then coming home and not leaving the house for another 3 weeks because you just had a huge experience that you can't recover from, you'd be way better off just walking around your block 4 times every day for the next week. Now, that's a much tinier step, doesn't seem so dramatic and glamorous, but in that case, you'd actually be making some progress and you'd be building something that you can now build on. Okay, so the difference is take a smaller step and be more consistent and persistent with it. Also, when you win a battle, and there are going to be battles to win, and you're going to be excited, you're going to be happy, you should pat yourself on the back and share your progress with the people important in your life because it's important, right? So pat yourself on the back and celebrate, but do not stop to admire your work for too long. Right? This is a common mistake that I see all the time. Be happy, celebrate your victories, but don't stop to pat yourself on the back for too long. And under no circumstances should you ever use rest as a reward. Don't do it. That's a bad trap to fall into. Rest is one of those things that we all need, you know, and I'm going to tell you that when you're doing this work, it is exhausting. You're going to be tired. You're going to sleep better at night, most likely. You're going to be mentally tired and physically tired. So we will need rest as part of this process. But in most cases, you have to admit, and I think you got to, part of this is being honest with yourself, that rest is often just an excuse for avoidance. So in this case, you must never allow yourself to use rest, you know, a day off, a day. I'm just going to have a day where I just lay in bed and watch TV. Wrong. Don't do that. That's not a reward. That's not a reward. Write in a journal, post your success story, you know, on Facebook if you want, share it with your friends. Just tell yourself how awesome you are. That's your reward, all right? Rest is not a reward, so do not fall into that trap, okay? You got to keep going. You have to be consistent with your progress, persistent with your efforts, and tenacious. When you win a battle, grab onto that, bite into it, and keep going right away. Okay, so these are our 5 points. Let's go through them again just really quickly. Number one, it's all about goals and expectations, right? You got to have the right goals and expectations when you start. Number two, you're going to have to be resigned to the fact that you're going to be afraid and uncomfortable as part of this process. Number three, stop thinking and focusing on your physical symptoms because that's a dead end. Number four, think small and start small, right? Don't try and climb the Matterhorn first day out. And number five, be consistent, persistent, and tenacious. So these are our 5 strategy points. These are the overriding, I guess, concepts that are going to govern almost everything we do going forward. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's look at an actual action plan. Now, this is actually simpler than most people think. It really just has 2 points to it. So point A, you have to learn to calm your body and your mind. Right? Now, that sounds very kind of new agey and spiritually, and it is to a certain extent, but for the most part, I'm talking about practical skills here. These are skills that you have to learn and practice all the time. Things like muscle relaxation, relaxation, breathing, and basic meditation skills are good places to start. And we're going to talk about those things in detail down the road. But for now, go ahead and Google it. There's a lot of awesome free resources out there where you can start to learn about these things. The goal is to build the relaxation on demand skill set. Okay, so in the midst of anxiety and panic, you need to be able to invoke these skills and to relax your body and also to calm your mind. Right? Then this is hard work. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of practice. These are things you do not learn in a day or two. But get started now. Start to learn about them. Start to work on them every single day because they're going to be important, especially when we get to part two of the plan here. So part two, here's the hard part. Every single day, as often as you possibly can, intentionally put yourself into situations that make you anxious. Now, that sounds crazy, right? That's like counterintuitive to just being alive. No human being wants to run toward the fear. That's exactly what we have to do. So I'm going to repeat that. Every single day, as often as you possibly can, intentionally put yourself into situations that make you anxious. Now, here's the key. When you begin to feel the anxiety or the panic, start using the relaxation skills we just talked about. And that's going to be hard in the beginning, and that's why starting small is one of those important things, right? Because you're not going to be able to, a panic attack is still going to feel extremely overwhelming because you're not that good at the relaxation just yet. You have to work at it. But when you begin to feel the anxiety and the panic, you're going to have to accept it, let it be there, don't try and stop it, don't run, don't fight, just start using your relaxation skills. However, do not expect that you're going to be able to make your symptoms go away. Right? You're not going to be able to stop that panic attack. You're not going to be able to just stop the anxiety dead in its tracks. Generally speaking, that's not going to happen. There are physiological reasons for that. So think back to some of my other episodes. We talked about the fact that anxiety is physical and how panic attacks are physical events. Well, when your adrenal glands, you know, inject adrenaline into your bloodstream, you can't uninject it, right? There's no magic bullet that is going to somehow magically make that unhappen. It happened already. But if you can relax, if you do not fuel the fear cycle, right, if you're able to calm your mind and ignore those catastrophic, crazy thoughts that start to go through them, then you will find that the natural limiting aspects of panic and anxiety, the physiological limits, will be your friend. So this is where your skills help. You got to be able to relax your body. Right? You got to be able to just go limp and not fight the anxiety, not fight the panic, not fight the fear, and your meditation skills, calming your mind. When those thoughts, generally which are prefaced by things like what if or oh my God, like those are really the hallmarks of catastrophic thinking, especially in a panic attack, you need to be able to let those thoughts come into your brain, not pay them any mind, and let them go right back out. Okay? So your relaxation skills, your meditation skills are going to be important. And what you will find is that if you do not escalate the situation by giving those catastrophic thoughts chances to take hold and run rampant, and if you're not fighting, being tense, bracing your body, running, pacing, whatever it is you do, tearing your clothing off, if you don't do those things, you will find that your symptoms will not escalate. And actually, they'll begin to level off or even decrease in intensity as the adrenaline naturally gets flushed out of your bloodstream, right? So once that starts to happen, you're going to have to accept that it's happened. You can't unhappen it, but you can take advantage of the fact that even the worst panic attack, when handled by kind of a panic ninja, the best people who are best at it, will dissipate in somewhere between 8 and 12 minutes, generally speaking, right? So two plans, two parts of the plan, learn to calm your body and your mind and build those skills. And number two, every single day, as often as you possibly can, intentionally put yourself into situations that make you anxious and use your relaxation skills to get you through those things. And that's it. That is the whole plan. It doesn't sound terribly complicated, does it? Because it's not. So I always tell people it's an extremely simple plan. It's just very hard to implement because of our natural resistance to facing fear. We want to run from fear. So this plan, although it's very simple in concept, can be hard to implement simply because it requires us to do exactly the opposite of what we're kind of born to do. Nonetheless, it's extremely effective and it works for many, many, many people. Now, just a quick point here. Naturally, the situations that you're going to expose yourself to in order to induce anxiety are going to change over time. You're going to start very small, you know, very small, and then you're going to gradually build on top of those things. So if, in fact, you're maybe agoraphobic, and you're at the point where you have a hard time even leaving your bedroom, which is not that uncommon, the first thing you're going to start with is just standing in the doorway of your bedroom, right? Maybe you're just going to stand there for 30 seconds or so and you're going to work on that. So it doesn't matter how small the step is. You know, you got to take that first tiny, tiny step. And remember that when you get and you're able to achieve that, and you can repeat that over and over and over and over, and you notice that it begins to get easy, and you're not as afraid of it as you used to be, you've now got a building block, and now you can make another block on top of that, right? So those situations that you're going to expose yourself to, start small. The best advice I can give you with that is you're going to find the thing that makes you anxious or induces panic, and you're going to start at the threshold where your anxiety begins to kick in. So again, if you can't leave your bedroom, start by standing at the bedroom door or just standing next to your bed. If you can't get out of your bed, just sit with your feet on the floor. You want to start at that threshold point where your anxiety begins to kick up. If you're suffering from panic disorder and you generally avoid a place like the supermarket, maybe when you pull into the parking lot of the supermarket, that's when your panic begins to kick in, then that's where you're going to start. Okay, so you don't have to run into the supermarket and stand there for a half hour. Start in the parking lot, right? Start small, start very small, and build from there. A couple other things to think about. Expect to fail sometimes. We all fail. This is not a perfectly linear progression. You're going to have good days and bad days. I will say that it's important that you still act on the bad days. All right. Do not let a bad day be an excuse. As a matter of fact, doing the work and getting out there on a bad day is really where progress happens. Right? When you're having a great day, anybody can go out running around on a great day. The trick is to actually do the work on a bad day. So expect failure sometimes. It's going to happen. It's normal. You're human. We all fail from time to time. Expect that the process is not perfectly linear, and do not use a bad day as an excuse to avoid. Also, again, you're going to expect that you're going to be afraid. That's just the way it's going to have to be. Expect to be uncomfortable. Again, that's just the way it has to be. And expect to work hard. This is hard work, right? There's nothing easy about this. It could be physically exhausting. It's certainly mentally and emotionally draining at times. Expect that. But it's hard work that you're going to be really happy that you did. And I'll tell you why. If you stick to a plan like this and you really work it, you're going to be amazed at how fast you make progress, right? So things that you feel are impossible to do today will, in short order, begin to seem a little less frightening. You'll start to begin to build confidence. You'll be emboldened to keep going and moving forward. And here is what I think is the most important part. And I think those first initial building blocks and those first few victories tend to really spark this. I think above all, you will begin to learn pretty quickly that you are actually in control of this process. Okay? So you are not a helpless victim of a mental illness. You're just not. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes using the word mental illness to describe things like panic disorder and agoraphobia just bothers me, because it's not a mental illness that's beyond your control, right? Like schizophrenia or something like that would be. So these first few steps that you take and these first few victories that you achieve will help you learn that. You'll understand that you actually are in control here. You call the shots and you are not a helpless victim. Think of it this way. Really and truly, your brain has just gotten into some bad habits, and it's just time to set things right again, and you can. Right? So enough of the victim mentality. Don't worry about that. And really look forward to understanding and embracing the fact that you're not a victim, and learning that you are absolutely in control of the process. All right, so on upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk about specifics of things like relaxation and meditation, calming your mind, and exposure therapy. And in the meantime, you can actually get started on this stuff right now. Like, take your first step forward right now. So if I got you all riled up, and a lot of people tell me that, you know, I do, I get them all feeling brave after a podcast like that, go for it, right? Take your first step right now. There's really no reason to wait. Doesn't matter what time it is, doesn't matter how you feel, just do it. All right, so listen, I want to hear from you. So questions, comments, suggestions for future topics. Heck, even if you have an angry rant that you want to send my way, you know, it's all good. I want to hear it. So every podcast episode is posted at my website. It's thatanxietyguy.com. So just start there. Every episode does have space for comments and feedback, or you can communicate with me on Facebook or Twitter by following the social media icons that are on every page of the site. And naturally, if you're enjoying the podcast and you think others will, please share it. Share it on social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, Google+, whatever it happens to be. And I think most importantly, if you're listening via iTunes, which many people are, take a minute to rate the podcast. If you're getting something out of it, give us a rating and maybe write a quick review, because that's really what helps spread the word more than anything else. Now, finally, on my website, you're going to find my email list. It's really a super easy way to be notified of new episodes and other useful information. And I promise to never share your address with anyone else. So I would say go ahead and sign up for that if you're so inclined. Now, thanks as always for stopping by. I appreciate it. Until the next episode, remember to keep moving forward, because every step forward is a good step forward, no matter how small it may be. All right, see you guys next time.